This is a.
I'm gonna run away. So
this is something completely new. I'm actually have the remote now for Patrick's machine that we just tested, and it is supposed to
not explode.
To be able to control my presentation, but we are not sure at all if it will actually work. I must say I'm a bit nervous about doing this presentation because you must have seen it takes 8 minutes and 20 seconds and I now have almost an hour. So I have to push the pause button a lot. I'm sorry. Also a bit nervous because we have already seen so many extremely interesting things today and this presentation was meant to be just a tiny diversion explaining it. Tiny little detail about menopause. So it's not very exciting. I'm sorry already. Anyway, it's called Metaclock. And as you can see, it's a movie. It's not separate slides. We'll get to that in a bit. I'm not only talking about Metapost, I'm actually using Metapost here to create the presentation. Metaclock is a very simple Metapost input file. It's a really small thing, it's only 30 lines, I think. It defines one macro called scene, and it can be used to create animations. That's not the only package that does so. But the trick is it uses a variable user clock. So instead of time going linear, you can make the time using curves and what are weird things. The seven arguments.
It's in reality.
Yeah, just, yeah, if you're waiting for something, time slows down.
Everybody knows.
If you drink too much, time moves backwards.
Yeah. Exactly.
So there's seven arguments. The first is the title. This is just a simple string to give the scene a name, and it's used by Metapost to name the output files. If you say you're using an animation in Metapost, it never works because Metapost doesn't know how to create a movie. It knows how to create lots and lots of output files. And those you can then glue together using another program to create a movie. And that the title, in this case, is the first part of the output file name that Metapost uses. Then there's the, I call it corner, it's a pair, it gives you the size of the animation. Normally in Metapost you can have handy negative values, but that doesn't quite work as well in an animation because negative values are outside of the movie and they tend not to play. So instead of giving a complicated bounding box, you're only allowed to give the upper right corner. So you always start at 0, 0, and then the pair on the other side is the size of the movie. Then there's the clock path. That's the one interesting thing about this macro. That's the path that defines the user clock while the animation scene is running. Then there's the cycles argument in case you want to repeat the clock. That's, yeah. You can create fairly complicated paths for this clock. But often you don't need a really complicated path. Usually you want a small path and then you want to repeat it a couple of times. And then there's the frame rate that decides how many samples are taken per second. The skip frames, which is, that also controls the output file names. The output files are a title dash frame number and a dot extension. But it can run for a very long time, and usually if you make a movie that's a little bit longer, you can usually cut it into scenes, and then you glue these scenes together. But the external program that creates the movie tends to need completely consecutive numbers. So in this case you can say if you're in scene 3, you can say okay, skip the first 600 frames. So the first output file will be title-600. Instead of title-1 and then having to rename it in the shell. And then finally, last argument. What is the body that actually defines the scene? Simple example. I actually only have simple examples because I didn't have enough time to do an elaborate example. Now it's really straightforward. You define this path, this is called my path, that's the clock. The x coordinate in normally would be a path is mostly ignored, except for the last one. This is the total duration of the animation, of the clock actually, because the animation is clock time cycle. So this will run for 4 seconds. And then the y coordinate is used to set a macro called user clock. So samples are taken from 1 to 4, and at 20 frames a second, it makes for 80 frames. And then each time an intersection is calculated, and the value user clock gets this y value at that point. There's another thing. This is the background. If you don't do a background, you end up with a transparent animation, which is sometimes what you want, but most often not. So I just do a white cube. And then this is the thing that actually gets run. And at some point, it will start running around here. It's called stuff. So in this case, stuff-1 up to stuff-80 are created. And then I'm using AVConf, which used to be, it used to have a different name that I forgot. It's a freeware encoder that takes costs no money. You can run it on the command line and it picks up these files and it creates an MP4 file. I did a bit of a trick here. To show you the example. Mm-hmm. Just to recapitulate, the title is stuff. The size is 200 by 200 for this one. Okay. The big slide is 800 by 600. That's the clock path. I did a visualization of the actual clock path. That this is the curve that user clock takes. And it has 2 cycles. So basically we use the clock very twice for a total of 8 seconds. With a frame rate of 20. Okay, it doesn't have a speed up button. Well, yeah, it does, but I don't trust it. I'm afraid that when it starts going faster, I can no longer stop it. And there's the body here. Pretty easy actually. And inside of this body where you're defining the actual thing, there's a couple of variables that get set, extra variables that you can use in if statements and loops. So here's an example that it's almost this Apple thing, but not quite. This works really well if you do something like this, because MetaPost is well suited for this. And here's an example that is well, it's funny to look at, but it's not quite right. Guess what happened?
Randomized,
yeah. And of course, in every frame, the randomizer produces new numbers. And you cannot fix this by fixing the randomizer, because you want to have a different value in between each 3 iterations. So you cannot use 1 fixed value either. And I haven't found a good way to fix that yet.
Like your own randomizer.
Yeah, you need something that randomizes halfly. And of course, this was uniform data, but the other randomizer is just as bad. As I said, I didn't get very far, mostly because I got very distracted by actually organizing the conference instead of preparing my talk. This was especially for creating this presentation, creating properly formatted text lines using just MetaPost instead of text is extremely hard. And then the final process is slow. You need complicated command lines to convert your output images into other images. And then you need to use AveConf, which has a whole pile of single letter arguments. And then you really need to read the manual, and just the manual page is already 50 pages just listing options. And then for many of these options, even if you read the manual page, you still have no clue what they do. So you have to find another document that explains how video encoding works. But the worst part is that it is extremely slow. And the large slowness in the thing was converting the EPS files that MetaPost normally creates into PNG files, because all these bitmap, these movie creation programs all need bitmaps. That means running convert to create a PNG from an EPS, where convert itself starts GoScript, which then creates some intermediate format that is then converted to PNG. It is then saved on the hard disk, and it got ridiculously slow. And then I was looking at it and I said, okay, well, I can continue trying to create a presentation like this, or I can jump out and do something completely different. I thought this is the better solution because it takes a little bit more time, but I won't be bored. And I created the PNG output format for MetaPost. So now you can, besides encapsulated PostScript and scalable vector graphics, you can also create PNG files.
How do you do fonts? Does it do fonts?
Yeah, it does fonts. Yeah, obviously, you're looking at it. It uses Cairo. That was the easiest solution. Cairo is a bit of a complicated library, but the user interface to it is extremely easy. And then you just draw to an image. And at the moment, one point is 1 pixel. I'm still deciding on that. Prologs is completely ignored because, well, a PNG file doesn't have a prolog. So the only thing you can do is always properly interpret the font and draw straight to the PNG file. So that it's like prologs is always equal to 3. If you use negative coordinates, then they are shifted. The whole axis system is shifted so that everything ends positive. And the coolest thing was it was much easier to do than I expected. I thought that was going to take a week, and one day was plenty. And that's including fighting for an hour with the autoconf to make sure that the right Cairo was linked in. And that's mostly because Cairo's interface, of course, it's programmed in the C language, but it's extremely close to PostScript. And we already did PostScript, so it was mostly a question of replacing some explicit print statements into a function call in Cairo, and presto, it worked. The end result is about 10 times faster than going through convert. So that's still much slower than I would like, but compared to waiting for, what was it? At some point I was waiting for half an hour, and now I have to wait for 3 minutes. It's much more reasonable. But well, I have some open things to think about. Basically, I wrote a quick hack just to do this presentation. So things to consider. Well, I of course I have to solve the hackishness. Cairo has a nasty habit of dropping stuff that is really small. So if you create this 1 point is 1 pixel thing, it's not that lucky. But sometimes you have a drawing that is only 10 by 10, because you're doing something with a function, and you just need a short cutout. And 10 by 10 is not enough to also get Cairo to draw the labels, because then the labels get below a certain point, and they're just thrown away. Maybe HPPP and VPPP need to be resurrected just for that, as a scaling factor, so that you can do this 1 point by 1 point graphic and output a 1,000 by 1,000 pixel PNG file, which is currently impossible. Now the portability is a bit of a problem because, of course, Cairo is a dynamic library, and you get all this thing where Cairo depends on lib.conf config and lib.png, etc., etc. And I have to talk to Peter Breitenlauner about making sure that we can do it in such a way that it still compiles on each and every platform on TechLive. I'm pretty sure it's possible, but that will probably take another day or so of experimenting with the settings in the TechLive build system. This is another thing. Cairo can do lots and lots of tricks. Cairo can do many more tricks than MetaPost itself can. For example, it can include other images, bitmaps. It can do both fill and neofill. It can do gradients. All these PostScript level 2 things that are not currently possible in MetaPost. And it may be an idea to add some of these extensions, because I also ran into the same thing with the scalable vector graphics output. That could also do more tricks than traditional PostScript could. And it comes a point where you think maybe it's wise to include at least some of these things into the binary themselves. And then, yeah, this is probably the final point. MetaPost at the moment spent lots of time in libpng. This is because the Cairo interface to libpng is a bit of a toy to prove a point. And what you're actually supposed to do is get the bitmap data from Cairo and then control the PNG yourself. But they wanted this toy thing, and it has all the compression bell and whistles turned on, and all this endless compression takes lots of time, and we don't really care how large the PNGs will become actually on disk. It doesn't really matter that much whether they're 63k or 64k or 100k. It's not that important. So by tweaking some of these libpng parameters, I think it can still be a lot faster than it is now. But we need to discuss some of these things. So I'll commit the whole source code tree and then move some discussions to the MetaPost list to talk about it. No, this is the final slide already. I had a grand total of 10,000 friends, but you won't see it reach that. Yes. Depends on how the viewer. So I'm running for 500 seconds. MetaPost took 430. I think that if I'm smarter with libpng, I can bring that back to 150 seconds, right, at least. AV-conf took 120 seconds to create the MP4 file, and then the PNGs were almost 400 megabytes, and the movie is 450 or
so. Very nice.
Anyway, this stops it here.
what is your mapping between the time variable and the Euclidean coordinates? Because you do animation, so you have a mapping between the time variable and the coordinates as a function of time.
I don't. I have a mapping.
You don't use a
mapping. I have a mapping between real time and a single variable called user clock. And what you do to adjust coordinates is up to you. I have to go back and off. This user clock is the only thing I provide. And if you want to change coordinates of something, you simply have to
maybe you
change the point yourself.
Adopt a more fundamental approach by making the coordinates function of time.
Yeah, but
it is usual.
My wrapping marker doesn't know how many coordinates there will be.
And then you can, at various time intervals, get your picture. Okay, we'll discuss later.
Yeah. Anyway, the markers themselves were not intended to be serious. It's just a toy thing, and like I said, it's only 30 lines or so, most of which are spent setting variables. It doesn't really do anything except calculate an intersection point. The original plan was to
like the Lissajous figures. Then you have the sine and the cosine as function of time, and you get these moving pictures.
Yeah, sure.
The same idea.
Yeah, but you can do that, of course. You just adjust the x parts and y parts according to the user clock. Actually, I did have a tiny extra example. No. I want to go out of screen, full screen mode. Of course, my slides are boring, so especially for days.
You know that one.
I know you wonder how Vasarely would look animated. This is actually using.
What about music?
This is actually using the random generator. So if you run the same input file again, you get a different animation with different colors.
Every page is
facade.
I was getting sort of bored with just the lookout of the presentation itself.
Interesting to give some bird or something. Maybe you can make it.
You shouldn't run it too fast.
No, it runs at 10 frames a second, I think, which is a little bit too much, actually. But, oh well, it was fun to do. It also has an amazing frame rate. All these jumping colors are really bad for your MP4 frame rate. It's about, I don't remember the exact number, but it was ridiculously high, like 10 megabytes a second. Anyway, that's all.